I got a great word for you today. Hope is born. Hope is born. We're going to read some scriptures. We're actually going to read out of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 and Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. We're going to read Micah 5 and 2 and Isaiah 9 and 6. And before we read those, just let me tell you, the word today is hope, that hope is born. And I think about this, you know, they found the skeleton remains around, they think around 10,000 years old of the first lady. You know, the Bible, if we read it, we think maybe 7,000 years. And I have no idea how long humans have been on the earth when God created them. But today, I'm going to talk about how that just after he created them and we had disobeyed, that hope was actually born that long ago, 7 to 10,000 years ago. And what's amazing sometimes about hope is we don't understand how powerful and how much we need hope. So I want to encourage you this morning to have hope. So let's start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And it says this. This is after man was created and he fell in the garden and he disobeyed God. And God said, you will surely die. And then he began to give a curse to the woman and also to the serpent. And here it is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between you and your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 is our next scripture. And let me read this. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then I want to read in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And then I want to read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And it says this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this morning, I want to talk about hope. And I have a little acronym that I want to give to you this morning. HOPE. He offers peace eternally. He offers peace eternally. And you know me, I got to have points. So every letter is a point. So number one, He. He, I have here equals God. The I Am. The Alpha. The Omega. Now, I believe the Bible. I believe that the scriptures are inspired by God to man. I believe in the inerrancy of the scriptures. And I believe in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, in the beginning, God. As a baby, I used to always ask, you know, my mom and dad, you know, well, who's God's daddy? You know, who's his? And the only answer that there is, period, in the manual that God gave us, the life manual, is in the beginning, God. So God is in the beginning. You know, this word hope, it comes out of God. God is, he is hope. He is the the one that we trust in. In fact, I didn't do the definition. Let me do this. Hope is to trust in, wait for, or desire something or someone, or to expect something beneficial in the future. He offers peace eternal. I hear people say sometimes, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Now, Auburn fans, oh my goodness. Man, 10 to 3, 40 seconds left in the game. And you go into 4 overtimes because the guy makes a touchdown with 28 seconds. And I'm sure at 10 to 0 at halftime, it's like, man, we've got hope. But see, hope isn't just a temporal thing. And so when you're crushed as a fan and your team loses something, you're like, I lose my hope in them. I don't have hope. Hope isn't about a temporal thing. Hope is this. Let me give it to you one more time. You to trust in and wait for or desire something or someone or to expect something beneficial in the future. And so when people's hopes are crushed, like the poor Auburn fans, and they lose with in a fourth overtime, how many of you have been there? Like you hoped that your job would work out and it would be the greatest job ever, and then, maybe the company failed, something happened. You hoped that you would have, a baby boy and you had a baby girl. Or you hoped you had a baby girl and you had a baby boy. Or you hoped that you would have a child and it hasn't materialized. You know, there's so many things that make us hesitate and crush our hope because we have experiences of losing and our hope was it seemingly destroyed. Well, I want to encourage you today that there is a hope that will never, ever, ever fail you. And that hope is in God. In the beginning, God, period. Where you hope, well, I hope God, yeah, He's God. You, if you believe in God, He's God, and He is going to come back. He is going to rule over His creation, and God is real. He, the God, the I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, in the beginning, God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Right there in the beginning, when they created man, the Bible says, God said, let us. Who's He talking to? Because in the beginning, God. So who's God talking to? John explains it. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus Christ, was already there. The Holy Spirit moved over the face of the earth, so He's already there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He, you see, I Am is the next time that we hear about a name that God calls Himself. Here I'm calling Him He, but He says this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Actually, 1,446 years before Jesus is born. This is what Moses sees. He looks into a bush, a burning bush, and this voice calls out and talks to him, and he says, hey, who do I tell the people you are? And he says this. He said, tell them I am. He said, tell them I am that I am sent you. So now we hear God speaking for Himself, saying, I am. Ready? 1,446 years later, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am. the way, the truth, and the life. Right before he raises a man from the dead who had been dead 4 days and his sisters had lost hope. What do you mean, lost hope? It's evident. He's dead. Of course there's no, you don't even think about hope. He's dead. No pulse. Stinking. He's dead. Why hope? And Jesus goes, see, here's, I'm gonna do a lesson here. Even when it's over, it's not over. He says this, listen, final ain't final until I say it's final. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15:5 says this. He said, I am the vine. I am the vine. I am the vine. I am the lifeblood. And you know, I forgot to tell you guys on YouTube Live and Facebook Live, we're going to be taking communion at the end. And go ahead and get your juice and your bread ready. But he said, I am the vine. And then in John chapter 8, verse 58, here's where it's cool. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now that's more than 1,476 years. That's, we're looking in, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 BC. We're not sure. Way back there, where Moses is writing the book in Exodus, but yet before that time, he writes about a man named Abraham, and Abraham is the one who the tribe of Israel calls their father, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, our Father, creator of all. How does hope start? Hope starts in believing in God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That everything, all your resources, everything, you believe in Him. Thank you, Father. Our Father. Father means creator. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hope is that He, God, offers. Number two, offers. In Genesis chapter 3, we see one of the most interesting kind of communications from God to man and to the serpent Satan that to me is in the Bible. And this is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He says, the woman's offspring will bruise Satan's head, and that Satan, he shall bruise his heel. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is an angel comes down talking to some shepherds. Now, these guys, I don't know what their hope has been. I don't know if they've lost their hope. It's dark. They're smelling sheep. I don't know how long they've been out there. I don't know what their hope is. I don't even know if they even remembered this hope, because it's been thousands of years, thousands. And on the night that Jesus is born, angels show up to these dudes hanging out. I don't know what they're doing, playing, you know, a game or something, cards, I don't know. And he's smelling sheep. And now an angel shows up and goes, hey, I got good news for you guys. Listen to this. He says this. He says, unto you a child is born. You see, For unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So we look at Genesis chapter 3. And he says, okay, Eve, out of a woman, will come a seed, and he will be a man, and he'll come, and he will crush the head of the serpent, and all you're going to do is bruise his heel. And then, thousands of years later, in a dark night, somewhere out in the hills, a angel comes and says, dude, guys, go see this baby. Just got born. This is the one that we've been talking about. For unto you, a child is given. Unto you, a Savior is born. You see, sin and death entered because of disobedience. But God, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, offers his son. Man, getting goosebumps. I don't know if anybody's getting this. So it has to be a virgin, says the scriptures. Guys are prophesying, doing all this stuff. Why does it have to be virgin? Because he said, hey, I'm going to send a child. It's going to come out of a woman, but this time I'm sending the child from heaven, not from earth. I'm sending that child, my son, the only begotten son of the Father. I am going to send my son to be born through a 14, 15, whatever she was, year old girl, and he will crush the head of the enemy. See, sin, death, and death entered because of disobedience. And God offered his son to come to earth and redeem mankind. And he didn't make it an instant thing. He didn't create or bring his son here in a full adult body. But he brought his son through a virgin as a baby. And his son grew up on planet earth, which he helped create. And he lived among that which he had been a part of creating. And for 30 years, 33 years, we believe, he lived a life as a human being. But never, 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 never get this mixed up. He was 100% man, but he's 100% God. He was 100% sent by God, from God, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He crushes the devil's head, defeating him forever. The striking of Messiah's heel was a picture of wounding and death of Jesus on the cross, who was dead for 3 days but rose victorious on the third day. You see, John chapter 3, verse 16, once again, talks about the offer. Okay? God, here's your hope. God offers, and here's the offer. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and here's the offer, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I got hope this morning. I got hope. He offers Christ. You see, Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He offers. And you guys, especially a lot of those that are in the hospital today, those that are going through situations, maybe you're sick and you haven't been able to go to work, or maybe you've lost work or things going on. He offers, and this is the third point, he offers peace. This peace, my goodness, there's so much going on. And I can tell you, I'm working as hard as I can. I'm praying, I'm doing everything. But at the same time, I feel this peace I don't know if you do. I hope you're feeling it. But he offers peace. And let me give you the definition of peace. It is a condition from a freedom of a disturbance. It is an action to restore, listen to this, a broken situation. It is a state of wholeness and completeness. Woo! I like that definition of peace. It is a condition from a freedom of disturbance. It is an action to restore a broken situation. It is a state of wholeness and completion. He is my peace. He has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace. So many times, even this week, I've said, God, I'm talking to you, man. Some disturbance going on here. I need your peace. And I began to pray. And did you know I have that peace? I don't always have maybe the answer to the situation, but the peace comes. And then the answer comes. You see, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the scripture says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." That's awesome. "Counselor," that's great. "Mighty God," amen. "Everlasting Father," and here it comes. You ready? "Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. Right now, where you are, just start saying Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are our peace. Jesus, you are my peace. I can tell you every time that I start focusing on Jesus, peace begins to reign in my soul. He is the Prince of Peace. And he is coming a second time, as Nathaniel said. We have an advent. We're looking for our Lord Jesus. But he has already come once. And he has come to be your peace right now. Because it says in the Bible that we have peace that passes all understanding. That Jesus is our peace. In fact, when he was on planet Earth, he was so many times with his disciples and he brought peace. He would be in a storm, he'd be on a boat, and he'd say, "Peace, be still." Jesus is the peace. And when your storm is going crazy, go to the middle of the boat, find him, wake him up and say, "Jesus, I need your peace." You see, you have not because you ask not. Ask for Jesus to rule and reign in your life and be the Prince of Peace in every situation. I think about my dad. He was a peaceful man and he had peace in his heart. But I remember a situation where cop cars and everything were around this house and this guy was, threatening to commit suicide and stuff. And it was a really crazy, fearful situation, and he had known my dad as a pastor. My dad just walked in, and then he comes walking out with the guy, and his weapons are gone. And when my dad went in, it was a crazy situation, but the peace went in. And I believe that for all of you that are love Christ, that your feet are shod with the preparation of peace. And when you go into a situation, that immediately there can be calm, there can be peace. God gives us peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our final point is this, number 4, eternally. Yay! Eternally. Eternally means forever, continuous. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and of peace," woo, "there will be no end. Of the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal, continuous, ongoing life." Jesus defeated death, hell and the grave. So, as we're talking about hope, I've talked about things that have happened. But now we're at the eternal. And sometimes we don't believe that has happened. But yet our hope is in Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something for a fact that I know completely, but for some of you, it still may be hope, and it may be hope for a long time. I remember people even in their 80s and 90s on their deathbed were just would grab our hands and pray. And I'm thinking about my dad again, and this lady was grabbing his hand, and she said, "Pastor, I'm scared. You know, I know I'm about to go, and what's going to happen?" And he says, "Hey, man, Jesus is going to be there. He's going to be with you, and he's praying for her." And then she opened her eyes again. She goes, she just had peace on her. She's like, "I can hear angels singing. I can hear people." But let me tell you this. I know that for those who believe in Jesus Christ, you are eternal right now. Not later, but now. Right now. And some of the things that you think have been dead, some of the Lazarus in your life that you don't even remember anymore because they stink by now, God will call to life because he is eternal. And through Christ Jesus, we are eternal. We have eternity in our hearts. We're not eternal after we die. We're eternal right now. But good news, once we die, we still are eternal. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know where my uncle and my dad are right now. And I know the moment that they left their body, they were present with the Lord Jesus. I've had so many talks with my uncle, and he lived for a long time and was married over 60 years to his wife. But we would talk, and the closer it got, the bigger the smile he would get, saying, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus." And I know, and I have this hope for you, that you will live eternally forever and ever and ever. In fact, everyone will live eternally, but some will live with God, and others will be thrown into the lake of fire. And this morning, I want to just make a sober announcement to you that you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You see, hope is here this morning, Sunday morning. Here's hope. He offers peace eternally. This morning, for those that are online, like I said, you begin to get your communion ready. But for those online and even those here this morning, I have great news for you. It says in the Bible that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, can you just say this with me this morning? Just say this prayer. Say this. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you're raised from the dead. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. You did that this morning. Give him the praise. And for those that are here, you just take off the first part. And there's a wafer for those at home. You may have bread, whatever you have. But we know this, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Listen, guys, this is my body that is broken for you." He offers peace eternally. Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken for us so that we could be whole. Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to be glorified through everything that we do and say. We love you. We praise you. Amen. Let's take that. Amen. Praise God. Hey, you have some kind of juice at home. Those here have this cup. But this represents the blood of Jesus. His blood that was shed. And he said on that night that he was betrayed, he said, this is my covenant. This is the covenant that I make with you. He makes a covenant. He's going to keep it. Even when we die, our physical body dies, he keeps that covenant of eternal life. Jesus never breaks his covenant. Jesus, we thank you for forgiving us of all our sins, for cleansing us, for putting our sins as far as the east is from the west. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. This morning, we're going to end with one song. So you can stay tuned and then Stephanie will come up and talk to you. But let me just pray over you this morning and pray over miracles and hope that Christ is. For some of you, you need hope this morning to just feel better and begin to move out of your situation. For some of you, you need hope maybe in your marriage and whatever that hope is, I want to tell you this morning, he offers peace eternally. God, we thank you this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord, over every person. We pray for physical healing. God, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch people, Lord, with your power and your strength. God, continue to do miracles in this place. Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord, for new Christians, for people accepting Christ. We thank you, God, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.